Are you thankful?
Amen.
Wow. A lot more coming out of there than I expected. I don't know about you, but weather like this, number one, it gets in my bones, makes me cold. I sound like my grandmother saying that. But number two, it gets in my mood sometimes. And I'm grateful Bobby helped me out this morning. Because I made some comment about the weather being so nasty. He said, it's a beautiful day. I was like, I need some of that, God. I need to see it like Bobby does because I'm not there yet. So bear with me this morning as we take time to focus on how good God is and the importance of being thankful, of doing things with thanksgiving. I'm thankful for a new experience I had yesterday. I got to work in a chicken house. I did not know, and this is true, when they said chicken house, I think chickens. I didn't know they meant chickens. These little tiny, fuzzy, cute, and you know how they put them out? You fling them out of a tray. I mean, I started to do it, and I'm leaning it over and just sort of kind of ushering them out, you know. I'm like, they're like, no, this is how you do it. Boom. And there's chickens flying through the air, and I'm still a little traumatized over the whole thing, to be quite honest with you. But I am grateful for that experience. It's amazing. I don't know, sometimes there's just things that you encounter that maybe going into it, you may not be thinking this is going to be a great experience, but then somehow God will take something and do something with it. And I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it, particularly the smell. I was really fond of that. But anyways. Oh, yeah, very much so. What things in our life do we encounter that maybe we don't realize we should be grateful for and thankful for? Believe it or not, it's a characteristic of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God, that thanksgiving is an ongoing thing. It doesn't just come once a year. I mean, it does. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. I want to show you some things. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. And interestingly enough, he's writing from jail. What makes that even more interesting is you see the words joy or rejoice over and over again through this. So talk about having an incredible attitude and a perspective. He's sitting in prison for his faith, and yet he's writing this letter to the church. And over again, he's talking about joy. But he also talks about gratefulness. He talks about thanksgiving. And let's take a look at it. He begins in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Now, let me stop just for a second, because it starts with the word therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore, you ask what it's. Wow. See, y'all are helping me too. You're more awake than I am. The preceding verse in chapter 3, verse 20 is when he says, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, you got to think about that for a minute. You got to let that sink in. Your citizenship is, of course, based upon where you live, right? You can be a citizen of the town, of the state, of the country. Paul says your citizenship is in heaven. In terminology that might be familiar to those of us from the southern region, you ain't from around here. We're not. So that begins to maybe help us understand why oftentimes we struggle with things. There are things in conflict in our lives based upon what we sense in God telling us to do and things like that. And our struggles with it is because we're not from around here. We don't belong. Our citizenship is otherworldly. Therefore, when we get caught up in the stuff and circumstances of life, we're getting caught up in things that don't really mesh with where we're from. With me? Our citizenship is in heaven. And he goes on to say, you don't have to turn to it, I'll just share it with you real quickly. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't don't miss this, eagerly wait. Eagerly wait. Come on, Jesus. Get here right quick and in a hurry. John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But same principle. It says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. He reminds us our citizenship is in heaven. He reminds us that Jesus is coming because we're eagerly waiting, and that He might transform, possibly transform. No, He will transform, and I understand these words, I don't know if you do, a lowly body. Yeah, hello. Into that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Now think about this for a minute, especially since we're all going to commit gluttony in just a few minutes. We're not from here. We don't belong here. Our citizenship is in a place we've never seen, we've never been, but that's where we're from. Let that sink in for a little while. And we're waiting eagerly for Christ to come. And what He's going to do is He's going to transform this mess and conform it into, it says, His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things. I don't know about you, but I like definite terminology. Not some things, all things. He can subdue all that, and He's going to take us. We already belong there, but we're down here, and then He's going to change us and transform us to be like Him. And when that happens, we join in that reality of the One who is able to subdue all things to Himself. That means there's no problem too big, no situation too far gone, no circumstance too crazy, that He can't subdue it and take care of it, and we're a part of that. We can go home right there. That was good. So all that is there, and it comes to the point in verse 1 of chapter 4 where Paul says, therefore, after these things I've just told you, in which case you ought to be having a hissy fit and shouting, running an aisle, therefore, because I've said that, my beloved, and longed for, brethren, don't miss that terminology, longed for. You want to see a characteristic of fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ? You long for each other. It's pretty cool. My joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. And then in verse 2, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Keep in mind, this letter is being read to the church. And Paul's calling names. Cracks me up. I love it. I implore, and he calls them out, Euodia and Syntyche. By the way, if you're looking for names for children, there's some beauties right there. He says, I implore you to work it out. Get over it. Be of the same mind. He had found out that something was going on. And so he calls them out and says, get it together. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be sitting there when that happens, especially if you're one of them? I implore you, Euodia. Ooh, no, wasn't talking to me. Of the same mind, over in chapter 2, it talks about having this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it's a mind that is on the same page, that is not divided, that there is not discord like whatever's going on with Euodia and Syntyche. Matter of fact, let me read it to you. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing, and that means nothing, by the way, be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so he had already said that. Just a little before, as this letter is being read, he had already given them the context of what it's supposed to look like. Same page, same mind. Put others before yourself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing. I'll tell you what I did one time to illustrate this point. And this may offend you, and if it does, you'll be okay. But I dealt with a church one time where every year when VBS would roll around, the big thing was to publish who did what and who served where, and so they could get their little pat on the back. And they would drive me nuts with it. We got to make sure this is in here and this is there, and we got to make sure this person gets thanked and that person gets thanked and da da da. So what I did was eliminate it. Say, all right, now what? Will you still serve even if you don't get your little pat on the back? Can you serve without being seen? Is it about you or is it about him? Because here's the good news. You may not get your name in the bulletin. You may not get your little certificate. But the God of heaven knows what you did. So which audience is more important and impressive? Just saying. Let nothing be done out of selfish ambition. It's not about us. It's about Him, and it's about each other. Prefer others above yourselves. So he deals with that little thing there in verse 2 with Euodia and Syntyche, and that's the last time I'm saying their names today. Verse 4, listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going well and only then. No, rejoice in the Lord always. And you got to love this part. Again. Paul said, in case you didn't get it, in case you didn't hear me, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, it would be hard to have the argument with Paul. It would be hard to say, but Paul, you don't understand what's going on in my life. Paul, you don't understand how tough things are. Because he's sitting in jail, and if you try to have that argument with him, he's going to go, really? You're telling me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I don't always feel like rejoicing. I agree. I'm with you. Completely. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we rejoice in spite of our circumstances, because what we go through, no matter how painful or horrible or tough it may be, it's not our circumstances that matter. It's Christ who is able to subdue all things, including our circumstances. It's being focused not on what's going on, but on what He's doing and what He has said about our circumstances. Is that easy? No, no. I mean, maybe for you, but you're further along than I am. Paul says, rejoice always. Again, I'll say rejoice. In verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, and we don't like this one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, this is where it gets even more fun. After he's told them to rejoice always, and told them to their gentleness to be known to all men. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Right. Be anxious for nothing. Worry is a sin. Ugh. I don't even want to hear that. Let's keep moving. Be anxious for nothing. Don't miss that word. Nothing. Don't worry about anything. And then, in everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Worry about nothing. In everything, pray and be thankful. And I think there's more to it. The terminology Paul's using here for thanksgiving, A, he's not referring to the holiday. B, he's talking about an act of genuine gratitude. It's more of an ongoing sense and spirit and perspective and attitude of gratefulness. I think sometimes being thankful is something that is so familiar, maybe we lose the impact it should have on us. Because it's one of those things we say, right? Thanks. Thank you for that. Thank you. It's just, it becomes a word. Paul is speaking in the context of being thankful. As you're being prayerful, being thankful of everything that God has done. Being thankful in spite of your circumstances, in spite of the tragedies, in spite of the tough times, being thankful with thanksgiving. It's an ongoing thing where we should just be consumed. Homer Lindsay was the pastor of First Baptist Jacksonville, and he used to say, take a piece of paper, matter of fact, get a bunch of them, and just start writing down everything that you're thankful for. Because as that begins to unfold, there'll be more things that maybe you hadn't thought of. You know, here's a good one. We woke up. You know? Be thankful. Now, here's a good one for me. Nasty weather. Be thankful I can experience that. Some people can't. Be thankful that it was going through the nasty weather that brings me here together with other believers into a community of faith. You get where I'm going? Be thankful that we're about to eat. Because right now, in this nasty weather, in some places, there are those who haven't eaten in days. Be thankful for friends, family members, even those you don't care for, because there are some. You know it. But be thankful for them anyways. To sit there and begin to go through things and allow it to unfold and begin to realize how much we take for granted and how much we've been ungrateful for. When the whole time we're supposed to be, we should be, it can be a characteristic of us that it's in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And here's what happens in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Let that sink in. Ever been in a situation where it sure would be nice to have some peace? Yeah. The peace of God, and it comes as you follow this pattern when he's talking about rejoicing and letting your gentleness be known to all men and not worrying and praying and being thankful with thanksgiving and praying and letting your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which cannot be understood. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That means there's something that happens that in the midst of our stuff, we can experience the peace of God. And there's no explanation for that. It's those moments where you go, I don't get it. And it's those moments where when you've seen people like I have and experienced people and they've gone through incredibly horrible things, or maybe they're in the midst of them, they are cool as a cucumber. Because the peace of God, which doesn't make sense in those moments, is guarding their heart and mind, is what he goes on to say. Through Christ Jesus. Right in the middle of all these things that Paul is talking about are those two words, with thanksgiving. In the context of all of this, remembering to be thankful no matter what, no matter what's going on, no matter what life's throwing at you. And it leads to this peace of God, which passes all understanding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Beginning in verse 16. Again, this is Paul writing. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says some things that ring a bell from what we just heard when he wrote to the Philippians. In verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always. Always means always. Pray without ceasing, without giving up. People can become dogmatic about this and miss the reality of what that means. You're in a constant relationship with God through the Holy Spirit of God. You can be in constant communication with God. You can pray without ceasing, without giving up. It doesn't mean heads bowed and eyes closed and hands folded all the time. You'll wreck the car. You can't do that. So he means something else. What he means is it's an ongoing existence. It's praying through everything. And it kind of ties in with the fact that he says that we're to be giving thanks. With prayer and supplication, giving thanks. It's an ongoing. Paul is speaking of something that's a perpetual existence. It's not just on Sunday. Hello. It's all the time. It's a way of life. And it's something that as we begin to realize and to cultivate and allow it to consume us, changes how we deal with things, changes how we respond to circumstances. Because if we're in an ongoing thankfulness, rejoicing, praying, in everything give thanks. I struggle with that part. In everything give thanks. Because there's stuff that we bump into that we don't want to give thanks for. But Paul said in everything, yeah, even that thing. And I have found myself being sarcastic on occasion. I'm proof that God is merciful and full of grace. Because I can be a knucklehead for Him to deal with. And so there's times where something happens, and usually what happens to me, if it's something I've just preached on or taught on or whatever, usually stuff comes into play. And I got to practice my own stuff. And I get irritated with God and go, no, don't make me do that. But there's things, and my response will be, oh, gee, thanks. Really? But God loves me even when I do that. Even when I'm not thankful. Even when I'm not rejoicing always. Because here's the deal. If you take this as some formula, that these are the things I have to do day in and day out, you miss the point. You become a Pharisee. Because you're going to mess up. You're not always going to be thankful. You're not always going to be praying. You're not always going to rejoice. But Paul's saying this is the way it can be. And it'll help you. But when you don't make it, when something doesn't go right in that situation, guess what? He loves you anyways. It's okay. Matter of fact, it gives you an opportunity to pray again. God, I blew that part. I should have been grateful for this and I wasn't. I didn't realize what you had done. I should have rejoiced in this situation, but I didn't want to. He understands that. And He loves you anyways. He's amazing. Amazing. And we live in His neck of the woods because our citizenship is from heaven. When all this ties together, it ought to excite you. It does me. And when I can get excited on a day like this, it's pretty amazing. But when you begin to realize all that we have and the opportunity we have, then that begins to really even feed and build the fire under this whole thing about giving thanks. Thank you. Thank you that I am not from around here. That one day I don't have to worry about this anymore. That one day this lowly body's changed. Thank you that I can pray without ceasing. You understand the privilege of that? That means talking to the God of all creation. And you can do it at all times. He never puts you on hold. That's not cliche, that's truth. After he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, the last thing he says, and I'm still over in 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many times have you said, God, what's your will for my life? Which, number one, I recommend be careful when you ask it. But do you know there are things like this in Scripture that you can already answer that question? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's your will, God? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Everything. Give thanks. Why don't we this morning, as we have a time to respond to God, why don't we think about the things that we're grateful for? Grateful for His Son who gave His life that I might live. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. Eternal death. And the fact that He would give Himself, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He did that. He said, I'll take your junk and you can have me. If you don't know Him, you can. Maybe there's some things that we need to deal with before God and go, you know what? I haven't been grateful for this. Maybe there's some stuff that we need to talk to Him about and deal with. Whatever the case may be, I'll pray for you in just a second, and then we can respond to God. You can pray where you're at. You can come to the altar and pray. If I can help you, come talk to me or any of the elders. We'd be glad to. Let's just, during this season of Thanksgiving, express our gratefulness and our thankfulness to God by taking time to listen and then to respond to Him in whatever way He might lead. Let's stand together. God, we are grateful that You love us so much, You didn't leave us where we were. You give us an opportunity to be, as Your Word tells us, born from above. Born again to new life in Christ. That our citizenship is in heaven. We get caught up in the things of this earth, truth be told. And we lose sight of things eternal. And that it's not just a destination, but it's somewhere we already belong. And truth is, our minds really can't wrap around that. But it's fact, according to Your Word. And in light of that, we have the opportunity to give You an offering, a gift of our gratitude, of our thankfulness. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that it's hard for us to understand why we should be thankful. But Lord, You've taught us that we should. So today, would You bring our attitudes in line with the truth and the principle of gratitude, that we can begin to really think about all that You have done, all that You have given, all that You're going to do, the ways that You've blessed us when we by no means deserved it. For the things that we've taken for granted, God, forgive us. And during this time, to respond to You, Lord, may we do whatever You're placing upon our hearts to do. May we be obedient. And that we would do it in Jesus' name. Amen.